serious, man. You cannot be serious!
I've got. Now, this is going to be. Take that mask off,
Don. Listen. It was sent to me by the Thornbirds at Hawthorne.
Oh, we've been through that.
It's green, brown, and gold.
Don, we've been through that once before, the Thornbirds. You know, Colleen McCulloch and all that stuff, and Thornbirds.
Well, I'm using it. I'm utilising the mask. Well, it's in brown and gold. They're shocking colours, Hawthorne have got the worst colours.
Oh, don't say that. Don, what did you say then?
They got shocking colours. Hello, brown and gold.
Don,
would you wear brown and gold?
The last time you said anything about Hawthorne, all hell broke loose. Now you're saying they've got shocking colours. This is the man who captained them to a premiership, who saved the club, and now they're shit-house colours, are they? Well, they are shit-house colours. Brown and gold. The Hawthorne underpants.
Would you wear brown and gold?
Well, if I'm wearing my underpants, I would. Brown at the back,
I don't think
yellow at the front.
There's another team that has brown and gold in their uniform around the world.
No, Donald, why don't you give that a bagging then?
What, the
Bag
colours?
The colours of Hawthorn.
I wore them and I'm very proud I wore them. They're unique.
Doesn't sound...
They're brown and gold and unique.
Speaking of unique.
Unique.
Yeah, you're unique. Now, I don't know if you want to just
I am
before
a
we... just we've got some very serious stuff to say. Before we came on air,
Donald... Oh, don't.
I don't know if you want to go on with this.
No.
You said to me, can I ask you an extremely personal question? And I said...
Well, you've got to tell the people. Hang in the back.
Don. Fucking hell. Don.
Don't swear.
Well, please, mate. We've got
I'm hanging my head in embarrassment.
We've got listeners. And you might have heard a voice off air then. This is our panel operator. He's going to help us struggle through some of the things forget.
Did that second episode go to air last week?
It did, Don. What, you don't listen
just
to? It did. Now, Don.
They tell me.
Don, before we get
he,
on.
He mucked it up. I wasn't going to say that. Yes, Johnny.
Before we get on to some serious stuff, because there is some very you asked me before we came on, can I ask you an extremely personal question? And I said, what is it? Now, you told me, would you like to ask me? Do you know what the question was, listeners? Don said, can I do this?
Oh, jeez.
Don
as,
said.
As if I've got it.
He said, this is how it started. He said, hey, listen, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, Don, of course. He said, do you still use injections in your dick? And I said, pardon, Don? He said, do you inject your dick to get it hard, seeing as we've had our prostates out, both of us? I said, Don, that is an extremely personal question. Why do you ask? So, Don, I'm asked, come to the microphone, Don. Don, come to the microphone, if you'll pardon the expression.
You're a bastard. You are a bastard.
Why?
There's nothing sacred in this world,
well,
is there?
Don, I'm asking you. There might be people listening to this, probably just men who have had their prostate
the
out.
Men.
Probably just the men who have had their prostates out. You asked
I reckon
me,
it's got to be the worst operation in the world, hasn't
you
it?
You asked me, Don, do I inject my dick? Mm. I presume to get it rigid. Now, was that the question?
Yes. That's
why are you asking, Don?
Well, I'm just...
well, I don't is the short answer, but why do you want to know?
Well,
what?
Because the serum's going off.
The what, Don?
It's got a use-by date, the serum. You know, you get it
in the injection.
Vial. Yeah, in the vial.
So let me just get this straight, Don.
So I'm just getting to the bottom of it, why it goes off so
quickly. Getting to the bottom? Don, you'll think I'm winding you up, but I'm not, man. Listen to me. So you've obviously fraternising with people, I presume women. It doesn't matter if they're not women, but if they're with people. And you think when you get a bit amorous, you'd like to just... maybe engage in some, you know, sexual activity, and then you reach for the injection. You reach for the injection, and you quickly, while someone is in the rack waiting for you to get rigid, you plunge the thing into your snag, and hopefully it just rises up like that. And someone will say, "Man or woman, oh, that's a beauty, Don. Why don't you use it on me?" And I'm asking you now, you're saying the serum in the injection's gone off.
Well,
and it, Because you've obviously had a crack at it, if you'll pardon the expression.
Hang on. Just, so, Don, are you offering it to him?
What?
Serum.
The serum? I was ever listening to Bugalugs over here.
No, Bugalugs is helping us, Don, because we've got a few things to do today. But I'm just starting this
I've just been in conversation with a few friends yesterday and...
Women friends?
No, male. Who've had the operation as, you know, had their prostate out.
And you've
there's many devices apparently you can use. So you can blow it up as well. You press something, a button or something. Have you heard of this one?
Well, you press a button and you get...
Yeah, the old fella comes up.
What, Don? Like a balloon?
Well, I don't know. Like a blimp? God, you're a bastard.
Why are we talking about...
I'm embarrassed.
How can you press a button? There's nothing sacred with you, is there? How can you press a button?
Well, I don't know. I was told that one yesterday as well.
So where's the button?
I don't know. I was talking.
You have to put something over your penis.
No, you have it inserted. I think
you have the what an air sac inserted
something
in
something like that.
I don't know, Johnny.
I was talking to two friends who've been through the same experience as us. And I was talking about this yesterday.
So, Don.
And I just wanted to ask you, but you with your big mouth, I'll tell you what,
having your prostate out does rid of premature ejaculation. Do you know premature ejaculation is hereditary, Don? It comes in your genes. So, Don, stop it. People will think you're whacking yourself. Don, stop it. So why did you ask me, before I get on to serious things, why did you ask me, Don, come to the microphone, please? Don, why did you ask me, do I inject myself? Because have you injected yourself in past days? In days gone by, have you injected yourself?
Yes, I have.
And has it had great effect?
Oh, yeah, you put too much in it, doesn't get the old fella just doesn't go down.
What?
5 hours, 6 hours.
What? So you go down to the supermarket and you got your pants out like a tent? what do you mean?
Oh, jeez. Don't go through it. You could write a book on it.
So for 5 hours you have a rigid member.
And it is so painful.
Well, it's trial and error. Well, I've never.
Well, you obviously didn't.
What, Don?
I went. You know, they said it's trial and error. You put the serum in the needle. It's trial and error as to how much you require.
Do you inject the serum into the head of your?
No, far out.
Don, please, I'm asking you, man, where do you inject it? At the base?
You move it around, otherwise you get a hematoma.
Jesus.
You know what a hematoma is?
Yeah, blood.
What's Rod screwing you?
So, Don, when you go and urinate, it'd be like...
You couldn't. Impossible. You've got
bits of streams of water going out in all different directions. You've got... Your dick would be like a pincushion. You could play it like a flute. You'd have to put your hands over all the holes that you've injected in it. Wouldn't you? Where do you inject it? In the head, the base, in the middle? Where? All right, now we're moving on.
Visualising the sprinkler.
Did you ever go at the tablets, the little blue ones called Viagra?
They're a heart tablet.
They're a heart tablet?
Yes.
Oh, you've been using them the wrong way.
No, I'm telling you.
They're not.
All they do is stimulate blood flow through the body.
Well, that's and what, they what found do you think that makes, as a, what do you think makes your penis go rigid, Don?
And when they were testing them, a side effect was that if you had an erection while they were doing tests, you got a bigger erection because it stimulates blood flow.
That's what it's for. That's what makes your dick go hard, Don.
It doesn't.
Blood.
I understand, but you've got to be sexually inclined or excited to be able for them to work.
Oh, well, if you're driving to work in your car, you wouldn't have a Viagra, so you get a hard-on in the traffic. What are you talking about? You only do it when you want to have sex.
Yes. So, people think that you have a Viagra and it gives you an erection. It's not right. It's a heart tablet to stimulate blood flow through the body.
Oh, Viagra is associated with sexual performance. What would
no,
you take?
No, it's not.
When would you take a Viagra if you weren't interested in having sex with someone or something?
Well, to stimulate blood flow through the body.
So as I say, if you are going to the football and you want to get excited about your side playing and you wanted to get yourself up and about, not necessarily your dick up and about, but you just want to get your... You'd have a Viagra, would you? Because you want to stimulate blood flow. What are you talking about, Don?
Well, obviously, people have problems pumping blood through their body, and that's why Viagra is developed.
That's bullshit. Is a stimulant to get you to pump blood through your body?
Yes.
They want to pump it into your dick.
No. That was a secondary thing.
Oh, are you sure?
Yep.
That's crap.
Oh. And so you're an authority on everything.
No,
I'm
logically speaking.
No. Dr. Newman.
All right. So that's so that was the personal question you wanted to ask me, was it?
Thanks a lot.
Righto. So
can
I'm
you
not
tell
sure
me
that...
what do I do? Preface everything I say on record, off record.
Well, no, I...
When we have a conversation.
Don, I just started this off by saying, you asked me, said, do you mind, John, if I ask you a personal question? And then I just said that to you then, and you said, what was that personal question? You said, oh, well, I'm embarrassed. And I said, well, I mentioned what the question was, and that's how this started. And take that silly mask off, Don, please. Take it off. Right, now...
Apparently you can get these online. You go onto the Hawthorne website and there it is, Thornbirds. So any Hawthorne supporters out there, and they should be wearing a mask, as everybody should.
This is the club.
Isn't it amazing how when the coronavirus first came out, masks were of no value whatsoever. Yeah. Yet now they're mandatory.
So this is the club, Don, that you said rorted the salary cap and also have shocking colours.
Yes.
But you're now saying go to the website and buy these very good masks.
Well, what the ladies do a terrific job. They're
ladies?
They are. The Thornbirds.
Yep.
They're a group of ladies they meet regularly.
All right. Now...
Now, don't blaspheme using the Lord's name in vain.
So here's, this is the series. I just want to tell you this.
How's Mick?
Who?
Mick.
Mick?
Mick Shan. You've spoken to him?
Yeah, I don't know. I speak to Mick. Mick's a friend of mine. Unlike I speak to him on a regular basis. I haven't wiped him, of his friends. I'm still on very good terms with him. Now, can I say this? During the course of the legal proceedings that we were involved with recently, that we've now settled and come to a finalisation of, during the course of an interview that Wayne Ludley did, takes pictures. He's a picture taker.
Yeah, he was. He was on the.
He was on nothing. He stated to the Daily Mail. This is Wayne Ludley stated this. The trio, that's us, knew what they were doing. This was about the Winmar affair, right? About us chatting about Winmar and the jumper lifting episode, right?
Mm.
Which has been resolved.
Yeah, come on, keep telling me. I don't.
Well, Wayne Ludley said this. The trio knew what they were doing. Belting him, that's Winmar, about race and heritage and him as a person. This is what Ludley said. It's a calculated act on their part to attack a black man who they think can't fight back. Right? Now, hang on. And then he, in a separate interview, he said that on the Daily Mail. In a separate interview on ESPN, he doubled down and he said this. This is a strategic thing on behalf of them to make money by kicking Aboriginals and Torres Strait Islander people because they believe they can't fight back. There is no grey matter here. They know what they are saying.
Now,
that's what he said.
Could I ask you?
No, you can't. Just at the minute, Don. Now, I'm saying to you, this is a malicious and extremely offensive remark by Ludley, and it's without foundation, and it's defamatory and reckless in the extreme, and we will be issuing legal proceedings against him. So I'm just putting him on notice that he should check his mailbox, because we'll be issuing him with legal proceedings. Any other people who like to make outlandish comments about us, we'll put them on notice too. There's a person called a dribbler on ABC called Julia Zemira. What's her name? Zemira. She said that we were. I'll tell you what she said.
Hang on. She does a show that I really like. It's called Rock Whiz on SBS. Yeah, she's the host of Rock Whiz.
Well, it's lucky she's on air, Don, if she says inaccurate things about us. I'll just read out what she said. This is what she said. Right. The mediation case resolved, but conditions yet to be met. Nikki and Wayne Ludley get an apology from three racists who should be barred from any public broadcast employment. Nikki, you are a champion. That is completely inaccurate, and that is wrong what she said then. We gave no apology to Ludley at all. And if you're going to malign people or have a go at them, make sure you get your facts right, because you'll find yourself getting a writ as well if you're not very careful. And we'll put her on notice that she, with Mick Sheehan, took absolute offence at that and spoke to her or her contacts, and she took down the tweet that was about, which shows that she either wasn't genuine in it, or she realised she'd made an error, or else why would you take a tweet down once you put it on? Because it was extremely inaccurate. Not inaccurate, it was just false. So that's the two things I'll mention. And if anyone else is going to say things that they think we are without backing it up, we'll put them on notice as well. So stand by for that. So that's that matter out of the way. Now, yes, you were going to ask me a question, were you? Were you going, Don?
No, I'm just thinking about it all.
Well, that's right. You were thinking about it, and I said, just hang on a minute, I'll read it out, and then I'll. So you've forgotten about what you're going to ask me, have you? Okay. So then we get on to
It's amazing, isn't it? Look, people, it's interesting, isn't it, people? They fascinate me. I'm glad I live by myself, don't associate with people.
And this is a general comment about what, Don?
People.
Yes, people. What was that about?
Oh, I don't know. I just think it's interesting when you... Yeah.
Don, you've spoke... That's four sentences.
I know. I'm just pondering, John. I'm just pondering, it's interesting. They give you stories, yet they won't put a name to it. They give you... Since I've been doing this podcast, they'll ring up and say, do you know such and such? And like we let that one go about the coronavirus down at Portsea, but nobody put their name to it.
But that's all right, Don. They're just trying
to... And it was a true story. You know, it was acted on.
Don, people who don't have a forum like to be indirectly...
There's a lot of other things that people have told me about what's going on right now, yet they run for cover. You say, can I let that go? Oh, no, that'll be traced back to me.
Don, man, listen to me. They're giving you stuff that people that we broadcast to or listen to this might find interesting, but they don't necessarily want to put their name to it, because
you don't have to put a name to it, but they say, oh, it'll get traced back to me.
Well, that's putting a name to it. So you said earlier that someone told you that they think the players... What's wrong with this? You think the players... Someone told me...
Yeah, husband and wife. Former teammate.
Don, let me finish what I was going to say, or people knows... You are extraordinary. You've just almost mentioned them. You said that someone didn't want to be mentioned or even just referred to where this might be coming from, but you said that the players in playing competition football now up in the Queensland area are wearing makeup.
No, I didn't say that.
You said you were told by someone. That's right. And you said, oh, but the person doesn't want to be named. We don't want to name the person, but they think for some reason that the players are wearing makeup. Do you think that's true? And why did they say that that could be a possibility?
I don't watch the football, and that's what I was told last week. Have a look. I said, well, I don't watch it.
Have a look at the players close up when their camera's on them that they're wearing makeup. What, eyeshadow and blusher?
I don't know. They said spray on tan or wax. Do players wax?
A big pun, Don?
Do players wax?
Well, wax where? Their legs.
Their legs.
Some of them, then their genitals. Speaking of genitals, Don, they wax their genitals, and they can. We'll get on to grabbing people's genitals. That's another.
Talking about that's an interesting subject, isn't it?
Have you ever heard the cow-eyed, virtue-signaling, sanctimonious crap that's gone on about the?
What about okay? Now, you do your bit, and I'll come in with mine.
Okay, so Nick. Volusia, what's his name? Who? Blaston and Jaden, what's his name? Jaden Short. Is it? What's his name? Jaden Short. Who are the two Richmond boys that groped, couldn't you believe, grabbed hold of Malaka Choles?
You're doing well
name?
Here.
Come on, help me. Who? Who?
John.
John?
That's what he calls himself.
What's his name?
He calls himself John.
John Choll?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a picture in the paper, front and back page news, of the childish revelry and merriment of people who get on very well being grabbed on the crotch and patted on the back, a bit deep apparently, but was just a pat on the back and it got a bit inserted a bit because... If you didn't know someone or get on with them well, what would you do that? And how can that get the front and back page?
It is
absolutely.
Now I was watching the net,
and the people who write about this, they're so intimidated to be woke and not. There's just if they were honest and just said, "How is this a problem?" The Richmond Football Club had to have the integrity department come down from the top floor and speak to the players seriously. Oh, how can we put up with this nonsense? And the people, the cow-eyed people who write and comment about it, as if this is a tragedy and it's a disgrace to be going on. It is makes you embarrassed to be in the.
And if they were doing their job properly, they would have like watched the huddle of the. What do they call the mag, the netball? I watched the netball. No, I watched the netball on Sunday and the Collingwood player tapped her fellow teammate on the bottom on the breaking of the huddle. Now, if they were
she didn't push her finger in. She didn't poke
but you're not allowed to tap a lady on the bottom.
Ken, if you're another lady, you're a teammate.
I thought that'd be sexual harassment.
So you said if you're a lady, you can... You can smack a fellow...
I'm agreeing with you. Listen
to me, mate. You said if you're a lady, woman, you can pat or smack another woman on the bum.
No, touch... Teammate, you know, like...
Smack him on the bum.
No,
yeah.
A form of encouragement. Come on.
Of course, that's
but
right.
But that's sexual harassment.
Don.
They were poking him in the bum, mate. They were not just giving him a smack.
But you're not allowed, a male's not allowed to tap a lady on the bottom.
No, that's fair too.
So, okay.
No one's suggesting that.
Well, why are women allowed to do it?
So while people can't see this, have a listen. This is the game you're talking about.
What?
I know you can't see it. You said you watched this game.
I did. And
What do you think at the huddle this is about? What do you think is said here? Listen to this. Listen to this, right? I'm going to try and play it through the phone here. I'll play it two or three times. Have a listen to this. Oh, hang on, we're getting it. Doesn't seem to be working. What do you think they say then? One, two, three, what? Go on, do it again.
Hold the three, one, two, three.
You heard that? So there's plenty of chat about what was said then. One, two, three, something, right? Whether it is the word that we think it is, what does it matter? That's A. And B, if you're going to hone in on what's going on at the Richmond Football Club, blokes getting touched on the crotch in a spirit of revelry and childish merriment after a victory, what do you make of that? And also, in that clip that you can't see because it's visual, the woman gets patted on the bum. Like, how many double standards can you have about people that hone in on the most passive and ridiculous things, right? It is just nonsensical.
Well, I had netball down.
And if people were honest with one another,
well,
they'd
say it's bullshit.
Well,
you brought it up in a roundabout way, but I watch netball. I'm a fan of it, and I cannot get over the athleticism of these girls. I spoke about it last week, and if you want to see it, I think it's just, it's right up. Unfortunately, it doesn't get the exposure it should, netball. But they do, Channel 9, I've got to compliment them on their telecast of it, the player profiles, they introduce you to the players. What are you laughing at, idiot? Fat fool.
Don't fat shame people.
What? He's over there giggling. I'm trying to make sense.
What were you giggling at? I know, Don, the athleticism.
Well, he's led me into netball.
Well, I was leading you into what that was said at the huddle. One, two, three, go.
I'm not even interested in that. I'm not interested.
The netball lady, women, people who play it, are extremely athletic and very, very competent, Don. Is that what you wanted me to say?
Well, I just think it's a fantastic sport.
Do you? Good.
Well, if I can sit down and watch netball in its entirety.
Yep.
You know, and I can't watch football. I can't watch football.
No, but you can sit down and watch show jumping for an hour.
No, I don't. I walk out after half an hour. It's pretty boring.
Show jumping?
Yes, after a while.
Your sport?
Yes. It does get boring after a while.
What
going for 2 hours watching horses jump?
Over disciplines?
Yeah.
I thought
if that's not boring after 2 hours.
You went and saw that at the Olympics in 2000.
I did, and I also went for a walk and got coffee while the event was on as well.
Why did you go then if you knew it was boring?
You watch it for a while. You can stand it for half an
hour. So you wouldn't know that horses jumping over hurdles at a show jumping event.
Hurdles, no, they're jumps.
Different. Oh, well, barriers.
They're not barriers. Jumps. Come on.
They're barriers, Don.
Come on. Get the terminology
Jesus
right.
Christ. It's the Don.
Don't use our Lord's name in vain.
No, fair enough.
It's blasphemy.
I'll take that on advisement, Don. So the athletic ability, the women, the people playing netball is fantastic. We weren't talking about that.
We've got the best competition. I've come to the conclusion it's the best competition in the world here in Australia at the moment. They're recruiting from overseas, and the standard of netball
is exemplary.
Has improved markedly over the 3 years that I've watched
Is this netball where they don't have an actual net around the ring? This is of the playing court, Don, not speaking about anything else. They don't have any webbing around the ring. No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
That's basketball. Netball, they don't have anything around the ring.
In a playground they might not, but in the game they do.
In the game they do.
Are you sure of that?
It slows the ball so you can actually see it go through the ring.
I stand corrected, of course, Don, because I don't know everything. But I thought that in netball or in a certain discipline that's played, I think it's called netball, is that where you don't move when you get the ball, you stop?
That's, of course, you know what netball is.
I didn't think they had a net around the ring.
Okay, well, I'll look at that next time. But they have introduced a super shot this year, and they've changed the tradition of the game by the girls having a shot from further out. They used to work it underneath the ring, but now it shows their goal shooting ability by shooting from distance, a bit like 3-point in basketball. I think it's added to the game too, so it shows another skill that these girls have got.
So Rocket Rod Podcast Rod's got a picture up on the Google. On the computer, on the tablet, that shows a ring with a net round it. Well, that could be any. I didn't. I didn't think netball had webbing, and it doesn't matter. So, does it have a backboard?
No.
Ah, well, that's the difference, is it? No. How hard would that be to shoot a goal with no backboard?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a hell of a lot of skill in the athleticism of these girls. In actual fact, there's two girls play for Collingwood. Did you? Ricky Brown, he played for Geelong, didn't he?
He played for the girls, did he?
No. He played with you at Geelong?
Yes.
The Brown brothers?
Oh, don't be racist, Don, please. The Brown brothers, yes.
Yeah,
that's
from
right,
Geelong West. Well, their daughters, well, his one, I don't know which one it is, but the two girls play for the Collingwood Magpies. They play
Don.
Midfield.
Right, they're Don. Now
very
listen.
Good players.
So, do you know who's become the laughing stock of the world?
Who?
Us.
I was just
the
say
state
us.
Government here in Victoria.
Oh.
Now, listen to this.
Look, I was talking to a friend, before you go on, in London yesterday, and she is well up with what's happening in Victoria. Now, how on earth would she know about little Victoria? People don't even know about Australia overseas.
What an extremely good point, Don. I'm about to tell you how we have become news around the world, and I'm going to play if you disbelieve this. But let's just as a preamble to it. The Health Minister... the Health Minister Makakos.
What about her twits over the weekend?
What
tweets,
about her what?
Tweets, are they?
Her twits?
Tweets.
Don, please be very careful with the words you use.
Well.
What?
Social, what is it called?
Tweeting. Social activity, her social media.
It was sent to me what she wrote, or what do you call it?
A tweet.
Tweet. Yep. And then she gets on, I watched her on the news conference yesterday, press conference, and she doesn't want to expand on what she said on the weekend.
So she said, this is.
And she got in Parliament last week and wouldn't go on about the inquiry that they're holding.
Let me just expand on why I'm saying this about we have become world news. She said she was deeply sorry about the handling of the coronavirus. This is on behalf of the government. Daniel Andrews said that not only as a result of their handling of the virus would businesses close temporarily, they'll probably close for good. And he has single-handedly made sure that the grand final has been taken out of this state for the first time in a million years, and it probably should be played in South Australia, in the middle of the continent, if you want people to come from Perth and New South Wales and Queensland to watch it. And this is what happened. This is a police spokesman said the African gangs are out of control. That's not me. This is not me saying this. And he's sheeting it home to the state government sentencing protocol. I'm not saying that African gangs are out of control, but this is a police spokesman said they're out of control. This is the man in charge of this is the man in charge of our state. And I want to play you this now. This is from an American broadcasting network. They are gobsmacked at what we're putting up with here in Victoria, Australia, one of the continents, one of the seven continents of the world. Have a listen to this. This is how we're being regarded overseas. Have we got this coming up now? Now, this goes for about 4 minutes, but just listen to this. And this is what we are being regarded at as overseas and around the world, and we're living it as we speak by the most corrupt and incompetent government ever.
I think the word corrupt, it doesn't sit
comfortably. Sit well?
No, it doesn't
sit. So you're pretty happy they closed down $1 billion freeway, are you? To gain election.
Do you think that's corruption?
Oh, what would you think the reason is?
Oh, God, the phone. What do I do?
Oh, fuck.
I don't know.
Jesus Christ. So, to get righto. So, this is what. Listen to this. Here we go.
From listeners who are really great. And so one guy emails me a lot, but he sent me an article yesterday. I saw it at first. I thought it was a scam.
What's
for all my Australian listeners, we have a lot of them. We get to do that research thing. We can see. I can't see into your house or anything, but we can see generally where you're listening from. We have a lot of listeners in Australia. I feel really bad for you if you live in Melbourne right now. Have you heard what's going on in Melbourne? Here's an article to the American Institute for Economic Research. This will be in the show notes again today. Please check it out, by Jeffrey Tucker. Madness in Melbourne. This is not fun. This is, folks, you are watching your civil liberties go down the tubes right now, being flushed down the toilet.
This is broadcast.
I can't even tell you how bad what I read in this article is, so I'm just going to go down the list. So Melbourne, using the coronavirus as a backdrop, has basically turned their city into a police state out of fears from the coronavirus, despite no evidence whatsoever these lockdowns actually work. They don't. This virus doesn't care about your lockdowns at all. You're just locking people down indoors to recirculate air. So if someone gets it, the whole house gets it. The lockdowns don't work. They haven't worked. Look at some of the draconian measures happening. I really feel bad if you live in Melbourne right now. The guy who writes the article says, a friend summarized for me what's happening right now, the situation in Melbourne. Even one of these is bad. Police may now enter anyone's home without a warrant. Huh? There's an 8 p.m. curfew, a $1,600 fine if you're outside your house without, quote, a valid reason, the amount being raised by the day. You may say to yourself, Dan, come on, this is 1980s Soviet Union. No, no, this is Melbourne now. You're not allowed to visit family or friends. There's a $200 fine for no mask, mandatory masks at all times. This one, folks, please confirm for me if you live in Melbourne. Email us if this is true. You can only exercise once per day for up to an hour.
What?
What the hell does that have to do with anything? Only one person per household per day can leave the house, including for groceries. I'm not even sure that was a rule in the Soviet Union. You may have been more free, and the Soviets didn't even have these rules. You may say, wow, that sounds bad. No, no, there's more. You're not allowed to go more than 3 miles from your home. Weddings are illegal. No gatherings of any size. We got to go to page two because there's actually more, shockingly.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're like, that's not it. No, 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 there's more. The army is on the street fining and arresting people. Come on, Dan. This is Cuba. No, no, this is Melbourne. Since March 21st, a total of 193,700 spot checks have been conducted by police. Spot checks, Joe, spot checks. At the 5-0 knocking on your door now. Protests and activism is illegal. People have already been arrested for peaceful gatherings. The media, which is extremely biased, no shocker, is calling the protesters right-wing conspiracy nut jobs and won't even allow discussions of whether these lockdowns are right or not. And several thousand people were placed under house arrest, unable to leave for any reason, with food rations delivered by the army, leading to appalling levels of personal trauma. Here's one last one. There's actually more, but in the interest of time, I had to cut it down. Australia won't release how many fines they've given out, but an ABC News report said it's over $5.2 million so far. Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? Do you understand that if we don't take some kind of action at the voting booth and get these people out and let them know we will never allow this again? That in the name of public health, your neighborhood could be next. How is that?
Right. So, you said the main one.
Who?
This is
our man who can't be mentioned.
This is the panel operator here who's handling all
world's
the
world's
worst panel operator. He stuffs it up more. You said that they left the main one out.
What about the work permits?
Work permits.
You I filled out a work permit. To come up here?
Have I signed it? I'm your employer.
No, I'm not, what?
Well, we're not doing it for anything, money, so it doesn't matter.
No, I'm self-employed.
This guy's full of rubbish anyway. Lockdowns work.
That's what I was just going to say. What alternative is there to going on?
Well, the lockdowns haven't worked. We're into the second.
It's already halved.
We're into the second period of lockdown.
We should have gone into lockdown, and I'm not saying in hindsight, but I was advocating it back in March. We should have followed New Zealand and did what they do. They were in stage four back when we were mucking around with stage two and three.
Okay.
And so, we should have gone in, and everybody, even you, were on the ball and very aware of coronavirus. You'd wipe the microphones everywhere we'd go. You'd wipe. People now are very lackadaisical.
Lackadaisical, Don, is the word.
Well, I'm
it's lackadaisical.
Okay, well,
you are either lax or you're lackadaisical. You're
don't
not
pull me up on an argument because of a mispronunciation of a word.
Okay, so, well, it's not lackadaisical.
Okay, righto, you've made your point. Listen to my argument.
Thank you, Don. So, Don, if you're going to tell big lies, you've got to make sure you don't tell little lies. I'm not talking about you. So, originally, and now I'm going to say about the golf, originally they said, it was Dan Andrews said, if I can save one, this is a bumper sticker he pronounced, if I can save one person's life by not playing golf, so be it. They then said that golf was deleterious to your health because of COVID. Then they came out. I think that person who's got sacked, Van Diemen, I think she or someone, might have been Mr. Sutton even, they said that golf wasn't a health hazard. The only reason they banned it in the first place because it wasn't considered an essential thing to do. Well, I would suggest quite the opposite. I'd say it is almost an essential thing to do is get out in the open air, social distancing. So they lied about the fact that they said it was a health hazard. It wasn't a health hazard. They said in the end, they conceded. They just said it wasn't a necessary thing to do. Tell that to the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of golfers who play every week. So if you're going to try and fudge your way through this, at least either own up and say you've made some mistakes, which Ms. Makakis or Mrs. Makakis said she was deeply sorry for the tweet. Deeply sorry for the way they've handled the pandemic.
Do you know what time she was did that tweet? 12:04 a.m. What was she doing that hour? Writing tweets.
she might be.
Since that fateful day on the 25th of January when we had our first ever case, I've worked every day to keep everyone safe. I have put every ounce of energy I've had into that effort. If it wasn't enough, then I'm deeply sorry.
That's it. So
what's wrong with that?
Yeah. But that's right. So she's apologising for not her incompetence, the general incompetence of the government. And that is how we're being regarded around the world, Donald. No other state in Australia is being regarded like that except us down here who are locked down. And to say that most businesses not only are locked down but will probably never come back, fancy the Premier of a state saying that about the people he's overseeing.
Who was this, Sam? Who was Casey Kasem here who had all the opinions on what's going on here?
That was a bloke called Dan Bongiorno, an ex-Secret Service agent in America who looked after successive presidents. Was part of their security brief. And that was on a podcast about someone who he said had a lot of listeners from Australia, and someone emailed him about what was going on here. And
you know
that's
what,
I'd go
even further to say, out of all of this, we could do away with state governments in Australia. We could have local governments that look after your municipality, doing the rubbish, you know, parks and whatever else. I really, out of this, don't know what state governments do. And if we had a federal government that controlled the whole of Australia, I think we'd start to move forward as a nation. I'm still not happy about some of the federals,
aren't you?
But I think our state politicians leave a lot to be desired.
And you think my language is slightly extravagant when I say corrupt? So
I'm not saying I'm not saying our politicians are corrupt. I'm saying I think
I'm
we can do without
saying
them.
Saying the government. So how would you explain the fact that the security firm engaged by the state government was secured not on the basis of merit, but on the basis of inclusion? Because
you're not talking, what, this United Security?
Yes.
They're a New South Wales company who subcontracted.
The state government oversaw them being in charge of the billeted accommodation.
The bureaucrats.
The state government. The buck stops with the state government. They employed that security company on the basis of, inverted commas, inclusion, not on merit. Fine, it's fine if you're going to give security companies gigs on the basis of merit, but not on the basis of some
but
political...
But that wasn't the only security company engaged. It was one.
This
so
was
don't
the
single out one.
This was the security company that rotted the system. I understand,
and they're a New South Wales-based company. I couldn't understand.
It doesn't matter if they came from bloody Yes, but they've got a subcon.
John, they've got a subcontract. How can you control it from New South Wales? You've got a subcontract.
How in God's name would the state government of Victoria not oversee a New South Wales security firm being employed and run here in Victoria? That is the purview of the state government.
Well, they're the bureaucrats making those decisions, and also those bureaucrats have just received a pay rise. Do you realise that? That comes in March next year.
So here's the other anomaly.
Unbelievable. They wouldn't get a job in private enterprise.
If this was private enterprise, we would be in receivership by now. And Donald, you make a very good point. Have you ever heard the slogan, "We're all in this together"? We're not all in this.
Jeez, so they got spin doctors working for
them. We're not all in this together, because no public servant has lost their job. The pay rise was given to politicians. So we're not in it together. They're not in it. They're above it. What about the bloke who's overseeing? I just saw that on the... He's the bloke who's overseeing a huge union or a huge company over here has gone to live in South Australia, and he's running his thing from 700 kilometres away here because he just got out before we locked down. That makes no sense, because I haven't given you any information, but I just saw that in the paper this morning. I'll come. Now, what we're going to do is we've got plenty of things to talk about, football and plenty of other things.
I want to talk about the meatworks too.
Thank you, Donald. Could I just say the COVID is having tremendous effect on people.
16 pages today in the paper on COVID.
Can I just tell you this? Have a listen to this. These three blokes who are watching the football.
Which three?
I'm not mentioning their names. There were three blokes who were watching the football, and they got fed up by the standard of the football, so they'd had a couple of drinks and they all decided they'd walk home. Have a listen to this. This is how the COVID's affecting people. So they're out on the footpath and the coppers came around the corner in the divisional wagon, and the first bloke said, "Look, leave this to me. If we don't tell them who we are, what we've been doing, just leave it to me. We might get away with this." So the copper got out of the car and he said, "Have you been drinking?" He said, "No, sir, no." He said, I haven't had a cunt or night drinkstable.
Are you serious?
He did a bit of a spoonerism by mistake.
He
said, "I haven't had a drink or night constable." I think that's what he said, or he might have got it around the wrong way. Anyhow, the bloke said, "Leave it to me. I will get us out of this." So the copper said to him, "Have you had a been drinking?" He said, "No." He said, "What's your name?" And the bloke just pulled a name off one of the shop windows, just sort of tried to get it. He said, "My name's Coles." And the copper said, "What initial?" He said, "GJ." And he said, "Oh, fair enough." He wrote it down. And he said to the second bloke, "I'm going to punch you in the head one day." So, and the second bloke said, the copper said, "And what's your name?" And he thought he'll follow his first mate's lead example. And he pulled a name. He said, "My name's David."
David.
He said, "David? David who?" He said,
"Jones.
Not any."
David Jones.
Well, could have been David Jones, but it was Roger David, the clothing place. But it could have been David Jones. Good get, Don. And he said to the third bloke, he said, "And what's your name?" He said, "Ken." He Ken. Said, "Well, thank Christ someone's sober. Ken who?" He said, "Tucky Fried Chicken." So, I think he got that.
But I'm still stuck on the line. What was a constable? And
he said, "I haven't had a..." He meant to say, "I haven't..." But because he was pissed, he said, "I haven't had a cunt or not drinkstable." And I'm sorry to say that, but that's what he said. And I'm not... we shouldn't say that word, but that shows how pissed they were. So, Don, we're going to come back. I think we're going to come back. We've got some very important things to talk about. The fight between Jeff Horn and...
Jeff Horn, is he still going?
And I don't think he uses an injection even. I don't think he even uses that injection. Tim Zhu, Jeff Horn, we're going to come back with all the AFL stuff, the absolute nonsense about tackling, holding the ball, staging, groping, all that stuff. We've got plenty to talk about, and we'll be back.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.